Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship who's able to be here, and welcome to everyone joining us from home. A few announcements before we begin our worship. The first is a reminder that November 7th, that's the day that we change our clocks for daylight savings time, this service will start at 8:30. So it's November 7th, and that's the same day we change our clock. So just keep that in mind. The 11 o'clock service on Zoom will continue at 11 o'clock on Zoom. We'll be switching then so that we will have that block in between when we have the Cairo lectures for that education hour. Second is an announcement of celebration that later today, we will be having the baptism of Hadley Abbott Pritchett here, and we will be praying a blessing upon Hadley and Hadley's family today in our prayers. And then finally, you'll notice there are quilts behind us, and that is our quilters through the pandemic have been active and working. And there are a number of boxes of quilts that will be that we're dedicating today. That's going to be sent out to Lutheran World Relief in the coming weeks, and those will be distributed to people in need throughout the globe and also domestically. So exciting things happening. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise, let us take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
It's from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain when you make his life an offering for sin. He shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite all who are able to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the other 10 disciples heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. There's a really old story. I'm sure most of you have heard some version of this before. Nevertheless, I'm going to tell you it again. It's the one about a man who goes to his doctor because his shoulder is really hurting him. It's been bothering him for some time, and he tells his doctor, "I can only raise it up about this high, and it hurts like heck." After an examination and a series of x-rays, the doctor gives him a referral to a renowned surgeon in town, a top-notch doctor, for a consultation. After checking this man out, the surgeon tells the man he can definitely fix his shoulder. And the man asks, "Yeah, but will I be able to play the violin when I'm done?" Confident of his ability, the surgeon replies, "Absolutely." And the man says, "Great, because I've always wanted to be able to play the violin." Like I said, it's an old story, but the moral of it for today is don't overpromise. Don't overpromise. In today's gospel, James and John have no idea what it is they're asking of Jesus. They ask him if they can sit on either side of Jesus when he comes in his glory, and Jesus tells them that it isn't his to grant who sits at his right hand or his left. Now, we need to remember that their request comes after hearing Jesus three times clearly, very plainly tell them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. They are obviously still hoping that Jesus, when he comes in his glory, will be able to lead the charge against the Roman occupation and the oppressive regime of the Roman Empire. They're still thinking that Jesus is going to lead that charge, and Israel will finally come back out on the top. Once again, Jesus doesn't overpromise. He does, however, tell them that the cup he drinks from, they too will drink from. And the baptism with which he is baptized, they too will be baptized. And then, as often happens, Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. He gathers his disciples together and he says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." If that sounds absurd to you, and it should, just imagine what those first disciples must have been thinking. Being a servant would be demeaning enough, but being a slave, taking the role of a slave that's the lowest of the low, who would voluntarily choose such a path? Following in the footsteps of Jesus, then or now, comes at a cost. The road to Jerusalem was not an easy one, nor is the road that has been laid out before us. It's not easy either. In The Freedom of the Christian, Martin Luther put it something like this: a dutiful Christian is Lord of all, subject to none. And at the same time, a Christian is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. It's clear to me, and I'm sure it's clear to you, that God's ways are not the same as human ways. It goes against our nature to willingly put oneself in the role of a servant or a slave, the lowly place, the less than place. But to be honest, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And we ourselves would prefer
to be served rather than to serve. In fact, earlier when Jesus said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, his disciples asked him, then who can be saved? And Jesus replied, for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Jesus doesn't overpromise. Yet God is most definitely a promise keeper. And God went to great lengths to identify with the lowly human beings like us, going as far as to enter into our humanity, to put on human flesh, coming down to us and being born as a vulnerable baby in a manger. And ultimately, through Christ, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, in order to redeem and reconcile this world God so loves. Even still, and by that I mean even still to this day, God meets us in our suffering, in the dark and lonely places where no one in their right mind would ever want to go. God is there. God meets us in our deepest need, in those times when we're so overwhelmed and have nowhere else to turn. God is there. God meets us in the depths of despair, when we desperately need to hear a word of promise, a word of hope and comfort. God is there. God meets us in our humanity, in our humanness, when shame or guilt weighs heavy on our hearts and minds, and we need reassurance that we are loved and we are forgiven. God is there. Jesus doesn't overpromise. It is not an easy road, but the invitation to follow him remains. And the promised gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us every step along the way is a promise we can count on, one that we can trust in. In her reflection on this gospel, Caroline Lewis, a professor at Luther Seminary, suggested, maybe this is the time, or at least this is the Sunday, to remember that when the heavens were ripped apart and the Spirit was sent loose into the world, it descended directly onto Jesus. And it would be this same Spirit who would be present with Jesus in the wilderness, on the cross, and in that cold, dark, and seemingly hopeless tomb. It would be that same Spirit who would stir the hearts of Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome to go back to that grave and look death straight in the eye once again. And it is that same Spirit who is among and with us, beside us, calling us to repentance, to change our perspective, to see what can be, to trust that the kingdom of God has come near and still is. It is that same Spirit who is inspiring God's church once again to lead from and preach the gospel we know to be true. Our God is here. Believe in the good news. End of quote. I happen to think Professor Lewis is right, and that this is a good time for all of us to be reminded that God is here, and God is everywhere. God is wherever we are. God has gone before us. God is going to be there waiting for us when we get there. God comes alongside of us, all of that. God is with us and God is for us. That Jesus, through his death on the cross, has accomplished God's will to redeem and reconcile this whole world, all the cosmos, people of all time and all places, and that the Spirit is still inspiring and inspiriting us to continue God's work. And so, in closing, as a community of faith, trusting in God's promises, having received and continue to receive God's unconditional love, having been assured of God's abundant grace and mercy that's been poured out for you and for me, we, the people of God, here at this time and place, are freed to live into this new identity that we are as a baptized people of God and the mission to which God is calling us. Here at Central Lutheran Church, that means striving to be the hands and feet of Jesus by loving God and one another, by nurturing faithful living, by serving those in need, and by sharing the gospel. Hard as that may be at times, let us seek to be the dutiful servants and faithful stewards of all God's gifts as we share in this mission together, giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures, all to the glory of God. Amen.
Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Holy One, for the gift of the church handed down through the ages, and for all who carry on the servant ministry of Jesus, we praise you. Send your Holy Spirit upon all who are discerning calls to ministry in its many forms, and equip them with your gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating One, for the lush and abundant habitat you provide for all your creatures, we praise you. Provide healing for the earth so that the waterfowl, reptiles, wild horses, dolphins, and all living things flourish as you intend. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Suffering One, for all who work toward peace and who lead nations with a servant's heart, we praise you. Bring justice for all who suffer violence, persecution, discrimination, hunger, poverty, and homelessness, and create places of refuge for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sustaining One, for all who volunteer for the vitality of this congregation, we praise you. Strengthen and encourage greeters, ushers, office volunteers, bakers, counters, committee and group leaders, teachers, students, evangelists, singers, builders, nurturers, and all who serve with generous hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful One, for all who do the work of healing in mind, body, and spirit, we praise you. Surround and comfort all who struggle with depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, dementia, or any illness of mind, body, or spirit, that all may be healed. We remember especially today Lou Berg, Nicole Christie, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Caroline Evans, Alona Johnson, Keith Jurasevich, Joy Lathrop, Shirley Watson, Genevieve Youngquist, and Arlene Forbes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful One, we give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit alive in us. We pray a blessing upon Hadley Abbott Pritchard, who will be baptized later today. We pray a blessing upon her parents, sponsors, and all who support her in her life of faith as she joins our congregation of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen One, we thank you for those who have shaped your church and shared your gospel, especially those who have gone before us and are now in glory. Through the witness of your saints, continue to inspire us with hope until we are all gathered at your eternal feast, and comfort for all of us who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who on a cross overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raised up to be the body of Christ for the world, breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. Today, though, we're going to invite you to come forward in a continuous line. We'll start with this side, and we'll ask you to come up the center aisle where you'll receive the wafer and you may, and then the cup. And then your empty cup you can put in the basket on either side, depending on which side of the aisle you come on. So first this side, up the center aisle, down the side aisles, and then we'll switch places and do this side next. So please come, for all is now ready. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I'd like to offer a special blessing for Vicar Ben as we send him out as a Eucharistic minister. And he serves people in our midst who aren't able to be with us. As we send him out to share Christ's meal, we ask that God will guide him in his serving so that our siblings in Christ who receive this gift of Holy Communion consecrated here today may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Let us pray. God of all life and all that is good, bless your servant Ben and those whom he serves. Make your presence known in your Holy Supper, so that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We sing our final hymn now. Receive the benediction this morning. Let us take a moment to bless the ministry of our quilters and dedicate these quilts and the others that will soon be sent off to Lutheran World Relief, where they will be sent off to people in all kinds of places all over the world. These quilts have been crafted lovingly by remnants of fabric by our quilters. And they have just now resumed re-meeting again since September. They've been coming here on the first and third Thursdays of the month they welcome anybody to join them. And they quilt these over the course of the year, and then each year we send them out. During COVID, many of these women also worked from home so that some of these quilts could continue to be made. And now we will ship off about 80 quilts, maybe a little more. And those will be delivered to Church, St. Andrew's Church in Beaverton, the end of this month, by David Rogers and John Sherson on behalf of the quilters. So I ask you to join with me in prayer. Gracious God, we join both giver and receiver, celebrating the unity of all your people who are woven together into a tapestry of beauty and diversity. We give thanks for the variety of gifts that have contributed to the making of these quilts, from donations of fabric to the faithful people who cut the squares, design the patterns, sew the tops, iron the fabric, make backs and fillers, tie and stitch the bindings, donate boxes, pack up the quilts, deliver them, and for those who contribute financially to defray the costs of shipping. And we give you thanks for the fellowship of all who have worked together to make these beautiful quilts, for their laughter, the shared stories, the joy of crafting something tangible with one's hands, and their loving hearts for people they will never know in places they will never go. We pray that these quilts will serve a useful purpose in the life of the recipient, that they will bring warmth in the cold, shelter from the sun and heat, a room divider for a home, or a carrier for a precious little one. And we lift up those who have received quilts in years past and pray that their lives have been blessed. Finally, O God, we ask that you continue to bless the fruits of labor from our quilters and the mission of Lutheran World Relief, that together we may continue to share with our neighbors in need. Bless all who give and all who receive, as we, your remnant people, are bound together in the unity of your Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen.
And now, receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.